Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, hello, listeners. It's your midweek wash-up. I'm Mark Duffield. I'm the senior football writer at the West Australian newspaper. I have with me in the studio Glenn Quartermain, the sports editor at the Sunday Times Quarters.
Duff.
Derby number 46.
So I can't believe we're talking about Derby number 46. We were both at Derby 1. And
I wasn't at Derby 1. I was working in Melbourne when Derby 1 was playing.
I was at Derby 1. I missed a few in the early 2000s when I was overseas, but I've been to a lot of derbies, and I was at Derby 1. I just cannot believe now we're looking back at Derby number 46. Incredible stuff. And a very significant derby in that whoever loses, that's it probably.
Well, I think it's been it for Fremantle for some time. I think that, you know, my take on Fremantle is that this year was always about 8 to 10 wins and discover and explore some talent, young talent on your list. And I'm quite happy with how that's going with Fremantle.
Absolutely, but they're still the silliest of chances to get there.
In this silliest of seasons, exactly. Glenn, they are the silliest of chances, but I suspect that it ain't going to happen. But West Coast, if you're right, if Fremantle find a way to topple West Coast this week, West Coast are in serious pain.
And what's your thoughts on JK playing or not playing?
I think he'll play. Look, I viewed the speculation that Josh Kennedy was going to return to the West Coast team with a degree of scepticism.
With his 1 week injury?
Well, I just think they got it wrong, either accidentally or deliberately. You know, sometimes clubs like to talk up the quick return of a player because they want to put some doubt in the other team's mind as to whether that player is going to play or not. And I guess that especially applies when you've got a gun like Josh Kennedy. But we saw him go down.
Yep.
That's not a 3 week calf injury. It's just not. It's a big calf. It's going to take some time. And the other thing that you have to factor into this is the last thing West Coast wants is for Josh Kennedy to come back a week too soon and go down for another 5 weeks and then basically barely play before the final. So he was always going to be 2 weeks late rather than 1 week early coming back from
the injury. Evidently, he was close last week, but it was probably a caution approach. So, you know, let's hope he is 100% and away we go. We'd like to see JK up and going.
Yeah, well, he did kick six in the first derby this year. I think he won the Ross Glendinning medal in that game. So he would be a big in for West Coast. The interesting thing is going to be my take on their loss to Port Adelaide was that they were too tall. So as Josh comes in, that's a tall. I would have thought that two might have to go out.
Do you think that's all? That's your only take on it? Do you think it was just the height, the team balance that cost them?
Mate, 25 years of covering footy at Subiaco Oval has told me that if you're going to err on any side at Subi, you err on the side of run. And I thought they went the other way. I thought they went tall. I know that they had to match what Port Adelaide had, and Port Adelaide have a powerful big man contingent. Port Adelaide's big men can run.
And Paddy Ryder was terrific last weekend. He was the difference ultimately.
Paddy Ryder and Charlie Dixon between
Charlie's
them,
five,
difference.
Absolutely.
But Quarters, Paddy can run.
Yep.
And Justin Westhoff can run. Charlie can't, but Charlie just parks himself.
He doesn't
in the
need
square
to run exactly,
and comes hard at the ball. And all the rest of their defenders are smaller, more mobile types. I just felt that West Coast got caught short for run, and they will quote statistics ad nauseum to show they lost the game in other areas. But if you don't have enough runners and your runners get tired, then you lose the contest and you lose the inside 50 battle, and their forwards get good one-on-ones and they take a lot of marks and they get good looks at it. And that's what happened.
Well, they did lose a lot of those contests. It didn't go inside 50 a lot in the second half, particularly in the last quarter. Just going to the other side of the ledger, Hamling, I'm not sure how he's going to come up this week. The talk is that he'll be named and he'll start. But if JK plays, he'd be a significant player for Fremantle. The two players last weekend that obviously caught our attention, one was, if you didn't know how to pronounce his name before the game, you certainly do now, in Niehaus.
Yep.
Now, of course, he has to back that up week after week, and the odds are that he won't this week. But what a terrific first game with all the storylines around it. And the other was Fife in the first half, getting the footy 23 times, just starting to edge back towards the Fife that we know, which we always considered it was going to take some time. So let's hope he takes another step this weekend.
Yeah, and my take on Fife is a little bit different to a lot of other people. I think Fife's been pretty good for most of this year.
Yep.
He got sore. He got the sternum injury. He played for 3 or 4 weeks. He probably should have had a rest a couple of weeks before he eventually did. Before that, Fife's numbers were pretty good.
And really, you set a marker for yourself, and Fife's marker is so high.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Anything that prohibits you from achieving that standard, obviously, is going to be looked at.
But so the guy he gets measured against, or the guys he gets measured against, are Dangerfield and Dustin Martin and that ilk of player.
And for good reason. He's obviously in that mix of player, but he just hasn't been quite able to achieve those heights so far this year, but he's getting there.
So, Quarters, the mail on Hamling is that obviously they had a people's training session down at Coburn.
A people's training session.
That means school holidays, so all the people come.
Yep.
All the purple people.
I thought you meant as opposed to a closed training session. Nevertheless.
Which is what most of them are these days. And Hamling didn't do a lot. So he came out, walked a little bit, looked pretty sore and ginger. But let's not forget this is a Sunday game.
Yep.
And as we speak, it is Wednesday. So there is some time. Presuming there is no structural damage and this is just a knock to the hip, you would imagine they can get him right.
Would you bring
Sunday.
Sam Collins in as insurance?
Well, Sam Collins, I would have thought, will be in the squad. Yep. And if Joel Hamling doesn't play, I think Sam Collins has to. I don't think you can go back to Zach Dawson, given where Fremantle are at in terms of their rebuild and also the fact that Zach Dawson has been playing a fair bit forward
yep.
this year and a little bit in the ruck as well. So Sam Collins would be the one on standby, I would think. Which way are you leaning in Derby 46, Glenn?
I'm going West Coast.
Yes.
Way too much to lose, and I think they'll be able to, I think they'll have Freo's measure, yeah.
So they certainly did in the first derby this year, didn't they? They pretty much put them away by halftime,
yep.
ended up strolling home to win by 41 points.
What I like about them as well is their forward line as well. If JK comes back in, you've got Lacroix, first game back, 4 goals. Darling hitting his straps certainly in the first half last week too. So there's a lot to like about the forward line. I'm not sure if they get it in there enough, it might be a danger for Freo.
You mentioned way too much to lose. There's way too much to lose for them collectively
yep.
because if they lose this, no one is going to regard them as a snowflake's chance in hell of contending for a premiership this year. The other thing is I think there's a fair bit to lose for them individually. I think they're going to have to look at, you know, we sort of discussed a little bit whether Sam Mitchell and Matt Prittis can play in the same team. That is going to be a monumental discussion yep. if they both play this week and West Coast lose.
Look, they have to win it. If you look at their draw, it's Freo, Collingwood, Brisbane, St Kilda, Carlton, GWS, Adelaide. I've got them winning four, maybe five of those.
Yeah.
So they can do it. They can still make the four. Certainly they can make the eight. I guess we'll find out whether they're capable of challenging for the title. As we know, you only have to hit form at the right time and have the right injury balance at the right time. So we'll see. There's plenty of time left in the season. If you ask me right now, I don't think they could win the flag.
Yeah.
But things can change, obviously. But that draw is not bad.
Okay. Well, the other thing is you mentioned you only have to hit form at the right time. Not from this side of the country, though. From this side of the country, you have to be in the four.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, but you're also in form.
Yeah.
You can't be in the four and then losing form at the tail end of the season. You really have to hit your best form at that time of year.
Yeah, you've got to take some momentum in. And right now they don't have much, do they, really? If you look
no.
at what they've done in the last month, really, you know, there's the win over the Bulldogs, but the Bulldogs couldn't beat an egg at the moment.
Yep.
They're really struggling.
Well, they might this week, but we can get onto that in a moment.
Yes, we can. Okay, well, I'm going to tip West Coast as well. I just think as you say, too much to lose and a little bit too much class and poise for the young Fremantle Dockers at this stage. But look out, we'll have a lot to talk about next week if the result goes the other way.
We will. Now, a little bit of mourning for me this week for obvious reasons.
Oh, hang on a minute. Wait. I'm just going to get the violins out.
Yep.
Get them out. I'm going to play the Death March.
Well, it's not the Death March.
Now, Glenn couldn't come
not
in
the
on,
Death March.
We do one of these podcasts on Monday. Listeners, and just in case you weren't aware, Glenn couldn't come in on Monday. He was in the fetal position under his doona.
Shivering.
Sucking his thumb.
Looking at old replays.
Holding,
all of that.
Holding yeah. his Hawks mascot close to his heart.
We have got one too. A couple of them at home. Yeah,
yeah right.
Dodgy
what,
dolls.
You. you and a couple of other mascots as well. Luke Hodge is going to retire.
He is at the end of the year. And
can I ask after your health at the moment?
Oh,
are you
fine.
Okay?
No,
you're
I'm
okay?
fine. It is a watershed moment for Hawthorn. The reason why he's a, you know, he is a once in a generation player in that I think when he was drafted at number one at the end of two, in that super draft of 2001, Hawthorn was just at a real crossroads at that time, and as much as the ability he brought to the club, he also brought hope. And sometimes it's great to see all the hope that goes with it. When it translates into the career that he's had, he really is we use this word a lot, but he is an icon at Hawthorn now. And what he's brought to the club, I have him as number two of my all-time favourite Hawthorn players, certainly only behind Lethal, and Lethal is like Bradman to Hawthorn folk. And I also have him at number two or three in the most influential figures at Hawthorn in just what he's done for the club on and off the field.
That's the list of yours that interests me most. Yep. So you give me your top five most influential figures at Hawthorn.
John Kennedy Sr., he started it all. He took them from nothing to something, gave them a culture.
Also gave us a very good person to impersonate.
Oh, all the time, absolutely. Number two is Lethal. Number three is Hodgie. I've got Clarko. Sorry, number three I've got as Clarko, and number four I've got as Hodge, and number five I've got as Don Scott, who without Don Scott, we possibly could be playing as the Melbourne Hawks.
Melthorn.
That's right. Oh, awful. I still cringe when I think about that jumper.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot you can do with Baby Poo Brown and Baby Wee Yellow, is there, really?
And for all that's happened with Don Scott, the caveat emptor about Alistair Clarkson when he was appointed coach, and all the water that's gone under since then, people, you shouldn't forget what he did for the club in helping them survive.
I'm going to throw another one in there who I think is a person behind the scenes who I think has probably been one of the great steerers and one of the no-nonsense football thinkers at Hawthorn without ever really being an upfront sort of person and a person in the spotlight. I think Jason Dunstall has been a very clear football thinker, apart from the fact he was one of the all-time great full forwards and one of the – he kicked, you know, more goals than just about anyone bar plug a locket.
Absolutely.
And he didn't catch Gordon Coventry, did he?
So
he's
third, no, he didn't.
He's third on the all-time list.
But the player who – when he had his first training session at Hawthorn, the second last person was finishing their lap and he was 100 metres last, and someone said to Alan Jeans, who picked him? And he had to gingerly pull his hand over his shoulder and say, I did. But I tell you what, he was proven correct. He's a great player.
He's a great player, but he's also a very clear football thinker. And I think he, when he was sort of director of football and that sort of thing at Hawthorn, I think he was a great steerer for the club. Also the subject of a great story about an end-of-season footy trip.
Yes.
Quarters.
When it was Dunstall and I think Bucky were arrested.
Yes.
And taken to in Florida, I believe it was. I think it was Florida, and they were taken to the police station. Of course, Alan Jeans, who was a senior sergeant himself, was received the phone call at 2 in the morning, and he had to go down to the police station and identify these players.
And what did he say?
He said, just don't shoot the fat one in the middle.
Correct.
Which was Dunstall.
Which probably told you how highly Alan Jeans rated Jason Dunstall.
Absolutely. But look, congratulations to Luke Hodge. And 300 games on Saturday, which is why I will pick them to beat Geelong.
I will pick Geelong to beat them.
Of course.
My take on Luke Hodge is that, of course, he was the number one pick in that most famous of drafts, the 2001 Super Draft. There is the often held debate as to whether he is a better player than Chris Judd, who was number three in that draft. Of course, Jimmy Bartel, Gary Ablett, Dane Swan.
Massive draft.
Sam Mitchell also came out of that draft. I think it accounts for about 7 Brownlow medals and about 5 Norm Smith medals. Yeah. Stevie J also came out of that draft. So I think, look, I think Ablett and Judd were better players. I think Hodges had the better career.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more with that assessment.
And the best leader of men we have seen since Michael Voss.
Yep.
And of all the current players, he will be the one who makes the great coach.
Yeah, and interesting that you use the Voss comparison, because Jonathan Brown, who had a lot to do with him, rates him alongside him. And he said, no one's come close since Vossy.
Yeah, and I think Lee Matthews is of a similar view. He puts him in that bracket. And if we know that how much Lee Matthews revered his skipper at Brisbane, Voss, and the things that Voss did on big occasions for Brisbane, you understand. You come to understand what Luke Hodges' standing in the game is. So from someone who has high standing in the game to something that I suspect you're not so fond of, Essendon's response when Levi Greenwood clocked young Zach Merritt on the weekend.
It's been hysteria. Levi Greenwood So he's
not just another bitter Hawthorn man just taking a chance to wail into the Bombers, are you, mate?
Oh, you've picked it. You've nailed it in one way. No, look, it's not. Look, Levi Greenwood. So he's in the split second it happened, it looked bad. Zach Merritt goes down. He goes off the field. They fly the flag, Essendon, which is great. You would expect them to fly the flag, and we'd be sitting here in judgment had they not done so. But then the replay showed on the screen. Now, he's hit him with his shoulder. He's hit the shoulder.
Yep.
And it slid onto the head. And I think the MRP, who we bag a lot, or I certainly bag a lot, they've got this one right. It's a two-match ban down to one. He's hit him in the shoulder. It slid to his head. But so they're... All of that video footage is available to the Essendon players. So Zacharakis, Bell Chambers and Goddard, they all get on the front foot and basically they convict this guy. They're the judge and the jury. I just thought it was wrong. There was a lot of carry on after the game. They're just walking a bit of a fine line. Goddard's talking about it being, we don't stand for that as a footy club. Well, very dodgy comment, because you don't want one of your players to go down to a similar act.
Yeah, I suspect the pot, the kettle and the colour black does come into play when we talk about Essendon too. When we talk about the spirit of fair play in football, Essendon, and good luck to the Bombers, they're now sailing in clear air, and I think we're all glad about that.
But, oh, of course, yeah.
But let's not kid ourselves. Essendon want to be careful about talking about what they stand for as a football club for a couple of seasons.
Interesting character, Brendan Goddard. Sometimes you want to like him, and he just, because he can play the game, he just does something that just irritates you, and I'd hate to be a bowl of pretzels around him, that's for sure.
The minister for the spilled pretzels, Brendan Goddard. But a couple of years ago, before they brought in the rule that if you elect a bump and there's any contact, that was nothing.
Of course. No, it wasn't.
It was basically, but because he elected to bump him and there had been inadvertent contact to the head at some point, he has to bear responsibility for that. But you're right, there wasn't a lot of malicious intent.
And they've got it just about right. And yeah, you fly the flag, but don't carry on with it after the game.
No, correct.
Every single was on the footy show on Sunday morning and on Triple M. And I just carrying on about it. Just let it go. You won the game, Essendon.
A bit of a soap opera?
Oh, move on. You've won the game. Be happy with that.
All right, Quarters. Well, how are we looking for tips this week? How did you go last week, by the way?
Six last week, so not pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. The last couple of weeks I've stabilised a bit, which is good. So let's see if I can completely stuff it up this weekend, which is no doubt I can. Friday night, St Kilda v Essendon at Etihad Stadium. Good win to Essendon last week. I'm not sure what they beat. What a sensational first half by St Kilda.
Yes.
And just on the subject of the Saints, I'm picking the Saints, by the way, to win this one. Seb Ross, we rate him, but do we underrate him?
Oh, look, I reckon there's about 10 to 15 midfielders in the competition that are underrated.
Yeah, he's right up there now.
He's one of them. Another one, which we might talk about a little bit later on, Zorko, I think, is one that's just starting to get recognition for how good he is. But Seb Ross, I saw him and was massively impressed with him when they came over here and played West Coast in round two.
Yep.
And he was nearly the architect of a great St Kilda result that game. Just played out of his skin. Of course, he's a member of the Watson clan. He's
Yes, cousin.
I think he's Tim Watson's nephew.
Yep.
I think. So, yeah, cousin of Job. So some pretty good bloodlines there. Very, very good player. Very hard-working player. He's one of those quantity midfielders, isn't he? There's quality midfielders and there's quantity midfielders. He's certainly one of them, and certainly one of the reasons why the Saints are climbing into premiership contention. I'm going to tip them, which means Essendon will win, but... I do like their form over the last fortnight. I thought they scrapped really hard to get over Fremantle. And that first half last week against Richmond
was... as good as it gets.
That was as good a football as we've seen
this year, for sure. Maybe for the last 2 years, that first half. It was a terrific performance.
Absolutely.
Saturday, Geelong Hawthorn. I'm going for the Hodge factor on at the MCG on Saturday. I'm picking the Hawks.
So you think there'll be an emotional boost and they'll lift?
I do. I think Hawthorn's going okay at the moment. It was a terrific draw last weekend. They won the game, then they lost the game, then they drew the game against GWS.
Yep.
GWS just struggling a bit at the moment, but good enough to sort of get two draws in a row done. So Hawthorn going okay. So I don't think it's out of the question. I just think the Hodge factor might be the little thing that gets them over the line.
Okay, I'm going to stay with the Cats because yep. I think that Hawthorn are going better than when they played earlier in the year. But
they want to be 86 points.
I guess they need to be going 87 points yes, better to win right. this one. So I think Geelong may be still just good enough. With top four on the line, they may still just be good enough to get this done.
Port Adelaide v North Melbourne. Adelaide Oval, Saturday. Look, we've spoken about Port. Best defence in the comp at the moment in many ways. Paddy Ryder's form great. Dixon's form great. North Melbourne, apart from Ben Brown, last weekend, there wasn't a lot to like. And Todd Goldstein really struggling. And, you know, look, I will isolate that last kick because you should kick those. Straight in front, experienced player, you've got to kick those.
Yeah, well, you would have thought when he lined up, you would have thought the most likely winner was North Melbourne, wouldn't
yep.
you? And the other thing, I think, even prior to that, their first half was really ordinary.
Yep.
The Fremantle team they made ground on in the second half was basically down to 20 fit men.
Yep,
so
yep.
they had Joel Hamling staggering around, barely able to raise a trot, and Tommy Sheridan sitting on the bench with a damaged hamstring. So, yes, they did get back into the game, but really they were playing one of the bottom eight teams, I would have said, and they were playing them seriously wounded on their home ground. So... they're not travelling too flash at the moment, North Melbourne. Interesting that Brad Scott is being mentioned in dispatches for other coaching jobs. Because,
yes, the Pies.
The Pies. It's not often you get to finish 7-8 and get mentioned, have your name bandied around as a prospective
he would
coach.
He would claim it's a huge rebuild, you see.
Okay,
so
yes.
There you go. So you're picking Port, obviously.
I'm picking Port.
Gold Coast v Collingwood up on the coast on Saturday.
So which Collingwood do they get?
Oh, gee, the tipping points, we've gone past the tipping point according to their coach, Nathan Buckley. I think he's probably right. I suspect from reading between the lines this week, they've absolutely been read the riot act this week, which is why I'm picking Gold Coast. I'm not particularly impressed with Gold Coast at the moment. Lynch's return to form will help them, but I'm picking Gold Coast up there.
If there's a big spread in this game, are we looking at the first coach to go? We know that Collingwood have come out and said Nathan Buckley coaches till the end of the year. I get the feeling that the only thing that will prevent that from happening is if they have a stinker or two and Buckley looks at it himself and says, you know what, for the sake of the club and also for the sake of myself and my family, I might be better stepping away from this now.
Caretaker situation, someone like a Scotty Burns or someone steps in.
Just lift the cloud.
Yep.
Because right now there's a Taylor Adams has mentioned it, which I think is a bit weak on behalf of the players to hand themselves excuse.
I agree with that.
But he said it has been hard playing with Buckley's future on the line and for it to be such a...
Which he admitted last Saturday as well. He said, look, it has to play a part in the players' minds. But, you know, surely when you're out there and the footy's in front of you, you're not thinking about your coach.
So my take on Collingwood quarters up until the last 2 weeks when they played Hawthorn and then Essendon was that their effort has been great,
yep.
their execution hasn't been great, they haven't connected well between their midfield and their forwards. I don't think you can say that their effort's been great at the end against Hawthorn when the Hawks kicked clear, and for most of the game against the Bombers, I thought they were off.
Yep.
Their skill level's bad. It's just bad and has been all year. So if you've got bad effort and bad skills, you're going to get really bad results in the AFL. I don't have much confidence in the Oldham mob, that said.
No, neither do I, but I'm picking them.
I'm probably going to pick them just because it's at Metricon.
GWS v Sydney.
Big game.
Oh, it's the biggest battle of the bridges we've had, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think,
well, there was a final last year, don't
you? But certainly home and away, this is as big as it gets for those two teams.
Yep.
And I'm going to stay with Sydney. I have been on them, what is it, 8 out of 9 now?
They've won 8 out of 9. Your boys were the only team to beat them at the SCG, and Sydney were down to 20 fit men by half time that night.
Yeah. I'm going to pick them. A lot to like about Sydney at the moment. GWS, they're going to, at some stage, come good. As I said, I think they've struggled the last couple of weeks and still managed to get 4 points out of the two games. So it could be this week. I'm sticking with Sydney. I hope they play in the finals, these two.
Yeah, look, it's a great rivalry. It's probably going to be the most fierce crosstown rivalry we've got in the AFL, like of the two team cities,
I think so. Yeah,
which is amazing to say given it's a non-football state, but they're both very good teams. The Swans are a very proud outfit, and GWS are just a team on the rise.
Yep.
They probably get Zach Williams back quarters, which gives them some rebound. But one of the problems they've had is that other teams have worked out how to stymie and slow down their quick ball movement a little bit, and that's their, to use that silly term that commentators sometimes use, that's their one wood.
Yep.
That's their big weapon. They haven't been able to employ it. The Clarkson outsmarted them, I think, in Launceston, and they were lucky to get out of it with a draw because he stopped their ball movement. I suspect Longmire's a very savvy coach. He will do likewise. I'm going to go with you. I think the Swans can get him.
I'll tell you who's coming good too is the big bloke with a really small head, John Patton. Have you noticed that? Have a look next time you watch him. Anyway, just an observation. Abnormally small. Anyway, just
well, he might be an abnormally big bloke.
Oh, he's huge. He's huge.
He's a massive bloke.
Oh, he is, too. I wouldn't want to be playing on him. Melbourne v Adelaide in Darwin. I'm picking Melbourne to win this one. Tommy McDonald, good to see Hogan back in the team last week, too. The run will do him good. Hopefully he gets the opportunity to run into form. Adelaide, Jenkins 4, Walker 3 looked pretty good and potent in attack last week too, but I'm picking the D's yourself.
I'm going to pick Adelaide in this one. Look, yeah. I think I really admired Melbourne getting the win against Carlton because I think...
Carlton was very, very... looked like they were on one leg. They did have a couple of players down and, gee, they looked tired in that last 10 minutes. I was willing them over the line myself because I just think that would have been a great win.
Cripps, obviously, they lose, which is a massive loss for them. But that said, the one thing I thought about this game going in for Melbourne, Melbourne had some injury issues, they had some suspension issues. It was one of those ones you just got to win. It was a real danger game, and other Melbourne teams, older Melbourne teams, would have lost that game.
Yes, they would have.
They would have found a way to lose it.
And this week's game as well.
So they found a way to win that, but I think they step up in class a little bit against the Crows, and... I think the Crows can beat them in Darwin.
Sunday, Richmond v Brisbane at Etihad Stadium. And what was going on with Hardwick and Kane Corns last week? Why would you respond to a tweet?
So I come from a farm quarters, and every now and again on the farm, we'd have a dog who was mainly good and a good sheepdog, but occasionally it would bite.
Well, that's Damien Hardwick.
Well, it's most AFL coaches, isn't it?
Well, it is, but some of them bite more often than not.
Yeah, Damien, I think, is one of those guys who just every now and again, for no good reason really...
So Kane Corn's tweet was about them...
getting a little bit ahead of themselves.
That's right, because Hardwick was saying the previous week there's a lot more upside. They had a good win in Adelaide. There's a huge upside for them still. And then he was, I think Corns was commenting on their lack of inside 50s to a certain point of the game. So... Corns has every right to comment. He's a paid commentator, a decorated player. So I'm not sure what Hardwick was. Maybe it's just the moment.
It's also that stigma around Richmond, isn't it? Like there's been such a breathtakingly long period without much success. So when they offer up a performance like they did against the Saints, he probably knows what's coming from outside the club, and he probably knows that. I guess the hackles come up a little bit early.
So is there a bit of sheedy about it, do you think?
A preemptive strike?
Yes.
Maybe a little bit of...
bit of diversion.
Deflect it down to fine leg?
That's it, perhaps.
Is he that clever?
Oh, he's been around the game long enough to be,
Okay, well, maybe that's what he was doing. But certainly it looked like a slight overreaction about not much, didn't
it? I take it we're both picking Richmond this week?
We're going to pick Richmond.
And Carlton v Western Bulldogs at the MCG. Look, Beveridge looked like a coach that had... pretty well admitted that's the flag gone last week, and I think it is. But I think they can still get something out of the rest of the year. It may well be just lift a bit of pressure off the players now, and maybe they can relax into the end of the season. It sounds strange in that they're defending a premiership, but perhaps now maybe he just loosened the shackles a little bit. And look, I'm going to pick them to win this week on the strength of Carlton without Cripps have been terrific. Terrific, but it has been a long season for them. Maybe we'll see a few results in the latter part of the year that don't flatter Carlton, but I don't think we should get away with what they've achieved so far. And I'm expecting the Bulldogs to win this one reasonably well.
Yeah, I think Carlton, the key to Carlton is that when they have their big four running through the midfield, and so that's Murphy, Cripps, Gibbs, And there's one other that goes through there.
Curnow?
Ed Curnow, the tagger, yes. So when they'll have all those four up and going, I think their A-grade midfield competes very strongly with most clubs.
With Cruiser in All-Australian form as well.
Cruiser, yeah. Cruiser was probably the fourth one I was thinking of, actually. I knew I had four in mind. Their A-grade midfield makes them very competitive. You take one out of that, I think they'll drop away pretty quickly. Yep. So I expect the Bulldogs
still get the numbers back as they do, so the Bulldogs will have to find a way, but I just expect them to answer a few critics this week. And as I said, I think they'll get a bit out of the latter part of the year without necessarily challenging for the flag.
My take on the Bulldogs is that if you're out after strike three in baseball, they're on strike two and they fouled the last five pitches off into the grandstand. Mm-hmm. It really is
a 2009 Hawthorn year.
Last dice, Chicago. Yeah. And I suspect it's going to be a 2009 Hawthorn year. Yeah.
And just onto the Derby, I think we both earlier on, well, I've certainly picked West Coast to win on Sunday.
Who's your Glendinning medalist?
My Glendinning medalist is going to be, I'm going to go with Jack Darling. To step up to the plate and kick five or six.
Okay, I might go with Elliot Yeo. Mm-hmm. He played on Nathan Fyfe in the first Derby this year. Did a really good job. I think he sets up really well to play on Fyfe. Yep. I think they'll want someone on Fyfe. I think they'll try and nut two Fremantle players this week, West Coast. And by nut, I mean shut them down, not give them a Liverpool kiss or anything like that for those people who want to jump to conclusions. So I think that someone will be sent to Sonny Walters, who I think is in as good a form as anyone in the AFL.
Well, he's in All-Australian form, yeah.
And someone will go to Nathan Fyfe, who obviously re-emerged as a really damaging midfielder last week. And I think if they do that, West Coast will win and win comfortably. If they don't, Fremantle may give them a little bit of a tickle up.
So I'm saying West Coast by 24.
I'll say West Coast by 21.
And the last game, obviously, we should mention, it's the last Derby, provided the miraculous doesn't happen and they play in a final. The last Derby, the last time these two teams play at Subiaco Oval, amazing.
It is amazing. It's been a great, the great home of West Australian footy, and we'll probably talk about this more as the season goes on and the venue, I guess, dies out or fades away. It's been a great home for WA footy, but it is time.
Yep.
It is time to move on, and all good things must come to an end, and there'll be a very good thing waiting for WA football at Birchwood. All right. Well, make sure you follow us throughout the week. Obviously, you can get all your predictions in the pre-game on Friday, features and previews and coverage of the Friday night footy in the Weekend West on Saturday, a full up-to-date with last-minute selections and ins and outs before the Derby in the Sunday Times on Sunday, and coverage of the Friday and Saturday games, and obviously then the full wrap of the round in the game lift out in the West on Monday. If you're looking for up-to-minute coverage of your footy, don't forget to log on to thewest.com.au and Perth Now. Also, don't forget to buy yourself the West app so that you can get your newspaper on your phone and read it whenever you like, wherever you like, however you like. Glenn, I hope you're feeling better next week.
To you on Monday.
Luke Hodges, his demise or his departure is sitting nicely in your soul.
Only in a football sense, Duff.
Yes, and we'll talk to you next week.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.